Acts. You know, that was the Father that was pouring out His power in such an amazing way so that the church would go forward with so much power and authority. God is no less powerful today, amen? He has full authority. He is able to do it. I love what the Scripture says, above, far above anything we can ask or even imagine, even think of. Do you know God is able to do greater than that? And so it's a matter of, I think oftentimes, like it says in the book of James, we have not, for we ask not. Or maybe we're asking the wrong motives, that we would just spend it on ourselves. So we're going to talk about today, we've been talking about the power of God and being displayed in the early church. And so we're still in this study on the power of God in the book of Acts. And so today the question we're going to ask, that we're going to attempt to answer through the Scripture, is why does God show up in His power? So we look at the next slide there, we kind of think about it there. So the Holy Spirit power, that's the power we're talking about, that was displayed in the book of Acts in the early church. That's the Acts of the Church of God, the Apostles. And we see that this Holy Spirit power is literally the presence of God. That's when we see the power displayed. The what of that power is just literally God. When God shows up, He is in power. He is amazing in power. So when we see God's power being displayed, it's because He is manifesting His presence among us. And that's when amazing things happen. The when, we found out last week as we talked about, was when His unified children pray through Jesus to the throne of grace. And whenever every display of the power of God throughout the book of Acts, we will find that there was unified prayer happening beforehand. There was a unified vision of the church. There was a unity within the church. Remember what we just talked about with the kids? If there's a kingdom or a house that's divided, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. There's not going to be any power there. No power of God, because God shows up when there's unity. There's connection. And so that's the when. Today we're going to explore the why. Just like with anything else that we go to study, we ask those questions. What, when, and why? And so let's talk about the why just a little bit today. So I just want you to think about this, how God works, and we're going to look at what God does throughout the book of Acts. This is just a very small grouping of it. It's just chapters 2 through 6 that I was kind of pondering and putting into practice. You got some fill-in-the-blanks there. You got some lines. You can see the underlined answers to it on the screen. We'll go through those one by one. In chapter 2, we see the power to understand. And a lot of times that's misunderstood. And I don't mean that as a pun. A lot of times people think that the speaking in tongues is a display of the Holy Spirit in an ununderstandable way. But what we understand here, that whenever it came upon the early church, it was so that they could all understand each other. It was to bring understanding. It was to bring unity. Because like if you were there and you spoke a different language, you're from another part of the world and there's this great revival happening over here, and you see things that are just supernatural, but you couldn't understand their language, it would still be without a clue to you what was happening. So you'd be left out. God don't want people left out, amen? He wants them to understand. And so He pours out His power, as He did in chapter 2, so that people can understand. Do you think God still pours out His power like that today? I absolutely assure you He does. I have actually been in places where people are speaking other languages, and see how God can bring understanding into the situation. Maybe not in the exact same way, but it's still the power of God who does it. I was actually involved in a prayer service with a bunch of people from Sri Lanka that actually literally spoke two different languages, even within our group, and I was the third language in English. And, you know, when we were praying, there was a unity in the Spirit that happened. And whenever God was speaking through those prayers, I experienced the gift of understanding what they were praying for. And so God still does that today, without a doubt. Now, chapter 3, we see that God pours out His Spirit in chapter 3 of the book of Acts to heal. You remember that's where we see the healing of the man who was sitting outside the temple. Silver and gold, Peter says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we freely give in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he literally reached down and grabbed the man and helped him get up. And a man who had never walked before because his ankles were lame was able to walk that day. We saw the power to heal. God still has that power today. Amen? And then we see that immediately following, there was a boldness to preach. This Peter who had just preached in chapter 2 and the power on the day of Pentecost had that boldness to preach that day as well. And we saw 3,000 people saved. By the end of chapter 3, he was preaching again. He was seeing it as an opportunity to tell people about the gospel because this great thing had happened, this display of God's power. Power to heal, the power to preach. In chapter 4, we see the power for boldness. Guys, whenever they healed and they preached, there were some people that didn't like it. And so they began to persecute. And in chapter 4, we see a boldness that went beyond all of that. And they had a power to stand against that persecution. Chapter 5, we see the power to cleanse the church. That's where Ananias and Sapphira come in and lie to the Holy Spirit and drop dead immediately. How many people you think thought about lying after that for a little while? I mean, immediately, God killed them. I know that freaks people out when you use those two words, God and killed. You know, God owns life. And we live on borrowed breath, and when he decides to take it back, he can. And so he has the power, when the Holy Spirit shows up there, the power came to cleanse the church. And then by the end of chapter 5, we see people that had been in prison because of their faith who were literally escaping from jail. So the power to set free as well. Are you in a prison today? You feel locked up in a prison today? Jesus has the power to set you free. All you need is the Holy Spirit to show up in your life, and he can do it. And by chapter 6, we see the power of discernment. We're going to kind of explore some of these in the future as we go through this. But I just wanted you to see, when God shows up, he's showing up and doing different things, all by the same power. So now, why is he doing this? Is it just so that we can be healed, or just so that we can have a heady understanding of things so that we can show we're really smart? Does he do this just so that we can preach and everybody will applaud and that they'll be happy with us? I don't think that's his end goal. And so we're gonna look, because all of these different gifts that he bestows on the church has a specific purpose. So I want you to think about this in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, this is a perfect one for Father's Day, right? Will he give him a stone? So I got some dads in here today. If your children ask you for a gift, do you purposely give them something that will disappoint them and make them angry? I hope not. Come on now. You guys aren't even reacting to this. Come on, shake your heads or something. Throw me a bone here. No, I mean, if they ask for bread, you don't want to disappoint them. Or if they ask for a fish, would he give him a serpent instead of a fish? See, a serpent in their culture was very unclean by the Levitical law. That would have been unheard of to do that to your child. That would have defiled them. If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give? And now here's the best gift of all. You see, he's talking about giving. If we're evil and we know how to give good gifts, then our heavenly Father knows how to give the perfect, best gift, I think is what he's getting at here. And so what's the best gift? He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. How many of us need the power of God today? Amen? I need the power of God. I need the power of God to take my next breath, my next step. Because I'm going to tell you, without him, I got nothing. I used to think somehow I was a strong guy and I could do a lot of stuff on my own, but I'm figuring it out, guys. Honestly, what Jesus said is so true. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We really can't do anything. We think we're doing all this and that and the other, but it's all going to amount to nothing. In fact, at the end, it's all going to burn, except for that which is done for Christ and in Christ by the power of God. So apart from him, we can do nothing. What do we need? We need the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying, all you got to do, it's real simple, is ask. Just ask Jesus. Ask the Father. Ask the Father through Jesus, right? We pray through Jesus to the throne of grace. So, next slide. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need that we cannot do for ourselves. Key word there is cannot, fill in the blank. There's a reason why I wanted you to take a pen today and actually fill these blanks in, because I want you to personalize. I want you to connect with these words. I want you to understand, if we could do it all ourselves, we like to have a comfortable existence. We like to be in our comfort zone. We like to feel like we can do it. We like to feel like we got it all planned out and it's all going to work just like we want it to, because we like to be in control. And I'm just going to tell you, church, right here today, beloved in the Lord, if you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need Him. It's just that simple. And so the Holy Spirit purposely is going to put things in your life and ask things of you that you can't do. I only got one amen out of that. I saw one head nod. All right, I'm going to repeat that. The Holy Spirit Himself, who loves you, is purposely going to put things in your life that you cannot do on your own. Because He loves you and He wants to grow you. If you could do it, you wouldn't need Him. If you could do it, you wouldn't need Him. Let's look at the next slide there. If we could do everything on our own, why would we need God? So here's my thought on this. See, I'm one of those straight line guys. So I like to draw a straight line from the question or the problem straight to the conclusion. So if I stay surrendered to God, maybe He don't have to drag me so far behind the truck to show me how bad I need Him. How many of you guys have ever felt like that? You're so stubborn, and you keep challenging God on these things, that literally God's got to knock us over the head to get it through to us how bad we need Him. He's got to give us some horrible sickness or something, just really get us out of our comfort zone. I can tell you about the day that I finally surrendered to preach, but you get bored because it was a long day. It was the longest day of my life. It was because I was living in rebellion with God, and He loved me too much to leave me there. And so He had to teach me a lesson. So guys, here's the thing. God does not expect you to be able to do everything on your own. And in the same way, this church is the body of Christ. It's the family of God. It's a smaller version of, you know, the bigger church, which is worldwide. But what He's saying here is this body, this local body here at Cadet, Missouri, cannot do everything on our own. He wants us to realize that it's impossible without Him, so that then we will depend on Him and remember how badly we need Him. So He's going to get us out of our comfort zone. He purposely designs things that way. He did it to the early church. Amen? Let's look at the next slide. He did it to the early church. Chapter 4, the powerful boldness and to stand against persecution. So chapter 3, remember, guy gets healed. Right there at the gate to get into the temple. We'd think everybody would be thrilled about that, amen? I mean, like, this dude had never walked, and they're all thrilled to death, right? Not really. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So it continued to grow, even though they laid hands on these leaders. So these leaders, they literally called on God for healing, and God delivered healing to this guy. And I'll tell you, that took some faith for Peter to say, come on, get up. He was believing God showed up, amen? And you see, he believed, and God did show up. And God was pleased to show up because He wanted to bring about belief in these other at least 2,000 people here, right? Maybe another 5,000, we're not sure, but it says, you know, it was either 3,000 plus 2 makes 5, or it was 3,000 plus another 5,000. I don't know on the wording, but what I'm saying is, He brought about belief in thousands of people that day. But Satan wasn't happy about that. And so the people who followed Satan, which was actually the religious leaders of the temple, they said, we can't have this. You see, everybody keeps following them instead of us. So they put him in jail. How many of you guys would think that would be kind of a bummer? I'm with you. I don't want to go to jail, right? I'll do a prison ministry like Steve, but I don't want to go home at night. Amen? I don't want them keeping me. Well, these guys got kept. But don't lose heart. You see, God put them, he purposely got them out of their comfort zone because He's wanting to display something cool. Way cool. All right? So as we keep following along, we'll kind of jump down a few verses. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, so they bring him in to interrogate him the next day. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Underline that part. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Peter that's this bold guy, okay? Peter was pretty bold, but I'm telling you, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what made Peter something. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers and the people of and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to helpless man. Okay, now where's Peter at this point? Y'all remind me, because I got a short memory. Huh? Okay, now? He's filled with the Holy Spirit, but where is he? Where's he been all night? Prison! He's in prison! He's in jail! These are the big shots! These are the people that can put him to death! These are the same people who just put Jesus to death! You get the idea? They have him. He is in their custody. Does it seem like God's scared about this? Nope. Listen, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Look what Peter says. He is in custody, guys. And he says, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. That sounds like a boldness to me. And guys, he's being persecuted. He's been thrown in prison. He don't know if they're going to let him go, but he spoke with boldness. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the presence of God. And he says to him, this, the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He starts quoting the Old Testament with authority. He starts saying, guys, this is talking about you here. You guys have rejected him. He is the salvation. He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which given among men by which we must be saved. Do I get an amen to that? Wow. And I guess all those Pharisees got saved right then, right? All those religious leaders said, man, this guy's speaking with boldness. We better back down because he's got to be right. We see there's a guy healed and everything else over here. They actually go on to discuss that. And they said, hey, we can't deny this dude over here got healed because he's walking around and everybody knows him. And they know he's crippled. So they're going to know that the power of God came out. And listen to the kind of boldness this guy's speaking in. But you know what? Still didn't change their minds. We continue to read on. We jump down to verse 18 and 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John must have said, okay then, we don't want to get in trouble. So, no, not quite. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than the God you judge. You want to hear some boldness? Guys, these are the cops. These are the authorities. These are the ones that went bad. This is the judge and the jury that's bad. This is our whole system coming against these two guys. And listen to their answer. Said, you think you scare us? No way. We fear God first. We're going to do what he says. He says, and we'll just leave it in your lap. Which one do you think we should do? And he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Guys, we know this to be true. And now, we got a church today that says, oh, we can't talk about that at my job because I might get fired. We got a church that says, oh, we can't talk about that anymore in this public meeting because it might make people feel uncomfortable. We got a church today that says, you know, if I say anything about that, people are going to get mad. Guys, apparently, when the Holy Spirit's upon you, you don't count that kind of cost too much. We want to win this country back. I think we better be asking for the Holy Spirit. We just found out in the book of Luke that we got a good father who wants to give him to us. But you see, I think we're afraid to ask. Because we know that the moment we ask, he might actually do it. And then we're going to be a couple kooks like Peter and John here. And we're not so sure we really want to be like them. Do I get an amen out of the church today? It's a little scary. We don't really know if we want to bring suffering on ourselves. We're a little bit afraid of that. Because we kind of want our comfort. Guys, I'd say I'm ready to go ahead and get out of that comfort zone. How about the rest of y'all? I want to see people come to Jesus. Do you know every day people are dying all around us and they're going to an eternity separated from God and His goodness? They're going to hell. So we can easily just sit over and say, well, they asked for it. But guys, I think Jesus cares about them enough that He died for them. And He wants us to bring the message. I love what Peter and John have to say here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. Y'all decide what we ought to do, but we're going to go ahead and do what God says. And you see, guys, we see there in chapter 4 and verse 24, they didn't seem to be too deterred by all this. In fact, they went back, and what did they do? They prayed. They were let loose. They went in and beat them. You know, Gamaliel said, well, you don't really want to stand in the way of God, so probably better let them go and just see if this is really of God or not. And they said, okay, well, we'll just beat them and then let them go. And so, like, the rest of us are thinking, a beating sounds pretty bad, right? Well, they went back, and what do they say? So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. And you see that unity? One accord. And this is what the entire group agreed on whenever it was said. Lord, You're God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Guys, I'm telling you, there's even a battle in the church over this. We can't even get united on this one worldwide, nationwide even. There's churches that they're not even sure if God really made everything or not. They're not even sure if the Bible is really true. No wonder we have no power, but at least where we can get agreement on this, we need to have it, we need to live on it, we need to stake our claim on it. Jesus, literally, it says in John, it's by Him and through Him that all things were made, right? Yeah. And so He literally made all things. God is the maker of all things. And I can tell you, He didn't have to take millions of years to do it, guys. I believe He did it in six literal days, just like the Scripture says. Because God is God. Okay? And with one accord, they pronounce this prayer back to God, recognizing who He is and what He's done. They recognized Him. Now we jump down a little bit further, and in verse 29 through 30, just to save time. Now, Lord, this is what they say to Him. After quoting some Old Testament Scripture back to Him, we always quote the truth of God back to Him. He loves it. And He says, now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to Your servants that they may with all boldness, that with all boldness they may speak Your word. So they didn't ask for safety. They didn't ask to be removed from the situation. They didn't ask for anything else. The boldness of the Holy Spirit in them says, Lord, give us boldness so that we can still keep preaching Your word. He says, by stretching out Your hand to heal, this is what they're asking, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. What an amazing prayer, guys. What an amazing prayer. And the Father literally replied to their prayer. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled, not just speaking of the fact they were overflowing, which they were, but they were controlled by the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. And dare I say, everywhere they went. Guys, it's an amazing thing when the Holy Spirit is upon us. We're not so worried about what anybody else thinks. I'll tell you what, they were a united church. They were a united church. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to just tell you, the resurrection is still the key. The resurrection is still the key. If we can help people understand Jesus rose from the dead, guys, everybody dies. There's nothing unusual about that. It was the raising from the dead that was unusual. And a great grace was upon them all. That's what we need, is the great grace. Amen? Great grace. As I'm going to tell you, as we continue to read on in the book of Acts, and we will for the next few weeks, we're going to see great power upon them. And every time we see the great power of the Holy Spirit come upon them, we see a boldness to preach. We see them continue on. We see them able to do things that they could not do on their own. Guys, if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. If we could do it on our own, it wouldn't testify to Him. So we come back to that first question that I asked. So why does God show up in great power? You saw it yourself, and you're going to continue to see it, and it's going to get reiterated a lot of times because the book of Acts does that. The reason why God pours out His great power is to advance His kingdom. We start thinking it's to advance our kingdom, we got it all wrong. That's not what God's concerned about. God is concerned about advancing His kingdom because that means people are getting saved. Whenever the kingdom of God is growing, that's because more people are being brought in, and that's what God's all about. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why He sends out the power of His Holy Spirit to make us bold. Guys, I believe He wants to win the United States of America. I think He wants to win the world. He said so. And He's waiting for His church to get on board, and He's going to work through us. Do you notice now? We don't see anywhere in Scripture where He sent angels and said, well, those guys down there wouldn't do it, so I'm just going to go ahead and call angels to do it. We don't see that happen. He uses His church, and that's the way He reaches others. Do we want that boldness? Do we want to pray and have God shake this place? I believe He wants to do that. He's waiting for us to get in agreement with Him. Now, will we feel the ground actually shake? I don't know. One time we were up here praying and the ground did shake because of lightning. God sent lightning. It blew stuff off the walls and everything else. It was pretty wild. We were right in the middle of prayer. The reason why I look over here is because J.D. was the one praying. And you know, he never missed a beat. The grip tightened around the circle a little bit, but God shook the house. And I believe it was because He was pleased with the prayer. It wasn't out of violence. He was showing us, I'm powerful to do what you just asked. And you know what was just asked? That Satan be bound. That the strong man be bound, because God Himself says, if you're going to plunder that strong man's house, the strong man needs to be bound. I am tired of seeing the enemy have people bound. Here's the deal. I'll tell you why I'm tired of it, because it makes God look small. God's not small. God's not weak. Is there any drug? Is there any addiction? Is there anything so big that it's bigger than God? No! So why do we still see so many people that are caught up in things that they flounder in and they just can't get free? Anyone can be free in Christ. Even a man in prison can be free in Christ. Amen? Freedom comes from God. Let's pray that the power of God go out. He bind the strong man in this community. I want Him to send him packing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You today and You promised us, Lord, in Your Word, that You're a good Father. You know how to give good gifts. Lord, we also see in the book of James that all good gifts come from You. But the greatest of all the good gifts is the bestowing of the Holy Spirit upon Your people. Father, I know we don't have to ask that You put the Holy Spirit in us. If we're a believer, we already have the Holy Spirit. Lord, what I pray for is a filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, that You would fill us till we're overflowing, until we just can't go any other way except for the way You're directing us. That You give us a boldness, Lord, no matter where we are, that we would speak the gospel, that we would live it, that we would preach it, that we would love it, we would love others in Your name. Lord, there's no boundaries to this. There's no place that You are illegal from going. Lord, the gospel is free to go anywhere. The gospel is free to go to the middle of the Middle East right now. Right in the middle of the hardest country. The gospel is free to go right into our government. The gospel is free to go right into our schoolrooms. The gospel is free to go. Lord, the way You get there is through us. So give us boldness. Help us to stop shrinking back and believing lies. And Lord, we do pray that You will bind the enemy in our land. The enemy has no place in your land, Lord. The enemy has no place in the church. The enemy has no place in this community, for we have claimed this community in the name of Jesus for you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would begin to set people free. If there's anybody in this house today that has not yet surrendered their heart to Jesus, confessed their sins, repented of them, and turned their life over to you, Lord, let them do it today. Lord, for that's where it starts. That's where life set apart for Jesus starts, and that's where freedom starts. Lord, help us to know if we could do it ourselves, we wouldn't have to ask you. And the converse of that is true. We can't do it ourselves. So we must ask you. So Lord, I pray that there be nobody here who doubt you, but whosoever will should come. So let it be today. Father, I pray that you would bestow your Holy Spirit on this church. Give us the power, the authority, the boldness to win this community for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.